sitting next to you, John, but we are grateful for all those that are here today. And this is the portion of our service where we make announcements about the life in our community. And I'll start by saying that yesterday we had a lovely spring fling. We had to battle the rain, Giants game, a Warriors game. It's a closing on San Pedro. But Jody, who's sitting right over there, did an amazing job of getting lots of people here. And Laura was, and Mike were huge in facilitating, and Terry and Carolee came out, and we cooked dogs, and we drank beer and wine, and we listened to excellent music, and we really had a good time. So we're going to do it again next year. If you missed it, we'll do it again. And welcome to my children who just walked in. Have a seat. So other announcements about the life in our community. John, yes, men's dinner.
Yes, next Sunday.
In Houston.
He is a bay pilot. And these are the guys that get on boats, go outside Golden Gate, jump on the ships, bring the ships back into the bay. It's a tradition or a job, exercise that's been done for 150 years because the bay can be a pretty treacherous place if you don't know where all the sandbars are and everything. But he has offered to host a men's group at the Bar Pilots headquarters in San Francisco. And he's going to, at 4:45, give us sort of a tour of the headquarters, which has lots of memorabilia in it. And then afterwards, we're going to go across the street and have dinner at Pier 23, which is Dutch. He says it buys all the drink, but in any case, we're going to pay for our dinners. Some of you have responded and emailed me. If you have not emailed me or phoned me or talked to me, do so. I see far more men out here today than what have talked to me. So this is your chance. I'll be around after the service. We're going to meet here in the parking lot at 3:30 for those who want drives and drive, and we'll carpool over. I think that way there's fewer people that have to park, but parking is relatively easy too. So do see me after the service.
Thank you, John. Yes, Kathleen.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day, everybody. I just wanted to bring to your attention that the May-June Deacons Ministry is Hospice by the Bay. And if you'd like to support that ministry, please use the green envelope and the binders. They do a lot of good work in our community and in our own personal lives.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. And Patty, you were not in here when I was welcoming everyone, but I want to extend an especially warm welcome to Patty and John. Patty Sanders is with us from the Presbytery of the Redwoods and heads up what used to be called 2 cents a meal is now called Sensibility and our Pedal for Protein. And I can tell you that under Patty's leadership, that program has grown exponentially and I think is considered the most successful in the country under your leadership. And so it's a little like having royalty with us today. And she's going to speak with us after worship and do a minute for mission. And then there are some lovely things that she has for us in our coffee hour that we're all encouraged to come to. And so now let us breathe one more. Aura, yes. Wonderful. Yes, thank you. And now let us breathe in the Holy Spirit, settle in, and worship together our living and loving God.
Honor of all women from Providence. Her strength and her dignity.
even at some of your schools, there's this thing, and it's called nobody eats alone. Nobody eats alone. Because when you get to be bigger and you go to a school, everybody eats at the same time outside at tables or sometimes inside at tables. And do you know that sometimes there's maybe one person and nobody's sitting with them? Do you think that's right? No, I don't think so either. And so there's these lovely people that go around and tell children, explain to them how to invite somebody to eat with you or how to ask them if you can eat with them. So we're going to pretend. Are you ready? Okay, so should I be the person eating alone? Okay, yeah, I'm going to pretend I'm eating alone. And then you figure out how to ask me to come eat with you. Okay, ready? Here I am. I got my peanut butter and my jelly. Oh no, it's a peanut-free school. So I've got my almond butter and my honey, and I'm eating. And then what happens?
Has to be sunflower butter.
Sunflower butter. Thank you. What happens, Maddie? What are you gonna say to me? I'm so sad. Everybody seems to have other people to eat with, and I'm all by myself over here. Is anybody gonna ask me? I think I'm gonna start crying. I'm so sad. Come on, you can do it, Max. Ask me to eat with you. Somebody. Mia, ask me. Oh, is that your way of asking me? I'll take it. It's like sign language. Like, come eat with me. Thank you. Can I eat with you guys? Okay, now let's pretend to eat together. This is really good. And you know what's so nice about that? It doesn't matter. You don't have to like that person to eat with them. They can look different from you. They can sound different from you. They can be Republicans, Democrats, bleeding heart liberals. It doesn't matter. We all eat together, and in church, we all share in the bread of Jesus Christ together. Everyone, all together. And all the people said,
amen.
And you may go now with Kylie and have a good time in Sunday school, and we'll see you later. Please join me in the unison prayer of wholeness and healing as printed in your bulletin. God of wisdom, we give you thanks. We ask for mercy. We pray. We petition you for healing. We petition you for grace. We petition for jobs, for success. We ask for worldly things. We forget that to pray is to first open our hearts. To pray is to ask for forgiveness. To pray is to become one with others. Help us to hear the words of Jesus Christ as an ongoing prayer for the world, not just the church. We are one in Christ Jesus. Let us be our prayer as it echoes the prayer of Jesus Christ. We are one. We are one. We are one. In your love, we are one. Amen. We continue now in silence. Whole people of God, we are one. And when we feel separated, or when we separate ourselves, God's love comes to us freely, unearned, and brings us back into Christ's love. We call this grace, and it is for you. Amen.
Sing to the Lord a joyous song.
And now we hear the word of the Lord. This must be a good one, or an important one, because it's the third time I've read this in the last five or 6 weeks. This is from Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. In the second reading, it's from John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know you and have sent me. I made your name known to them. I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Terry. I know you all think I've lost my mind. That is the fourth time we've heard that Exodus reading in a row. It's my way of reminding you that we are here for a purpose and we practice our religion. And it's not to remind you or to make you think that I believe that God created the world in 6 days, literally. What I'm trying to do is point out the importance of that day of rest, that day where we let go and we let God, the day that we give thanks for creation and our lives and the people in our lives, the day we unplug from our phones and our TVs and the world around us. It's a practice, and so we remind ourselves week after week that in order to benefit, we have to actually practice. That's my sermon. Thank you very much. And then that tongue twister of a scripture that you read, and I, and you, and me, and them, and me, that is John's gospel. It's considered a mystical gospel. And so rather than explain to you what that means, just think of surfers becoming one with a wave. Now please pray with me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a few days ago, Joanne, our office administrator, and I were going through the bulletin trying to find room for announcements. One of the ways we do that is by going through the prayer requests and trying to decide which prayers are old enough to delete. And as I was trying to decide, I realized I was having a tough time of it. I couldn't bring myself to remove Rosemary Ellingson's name or Dick Daunt's. Because when I walk into this sanctuary, I'm all too aware that Rosemary used to sit right there and Dick used to sit there, and I'm aware of their absence in the pews. And if I'm aware of their absence after only 1 year in, how much more aware is Gladys, who sat next to Dick Sunday after Sunday, or Wayne, who was close to the Kellys, or Joe Mann, who spent years with Chris Scott, and I'm sure that there are others that I'm forgetting. But one of my favorite parts of a Jewish service is something called the Mourner's Kaddish. At Rodef Shalom in San Rafael, it only takes a few minutes. Those that have lost someone in the past week are asked to stand and remain standing, and then those who have lost someone in the past month are asked to stand and remain standing, and then those in the past year. And then the rabbi will move his eyes across the sanctuary, and as his or her eyes meet those who are standing, they're asked to say the name of their loved one out loud, often overlapping names, and it becomes a cacophony of names. And the Jews believe that mourning takes a full year. And many Native Americans believe that too, that you have to experience a full cycle of seasons to fully grieve. And so all of this was circling in my thoughts as I attempted to shorten the bulletin. And finally, I decided that what we need to do is to expand it. That we will add a separate section of prayer to remember those who have died, who have graced us with their life. Those that we can still feel here in this sanctuary, and we will keep their names with us for a year, and we will include them in prayer. And this decision, this one small change in the life of St. Luke came to me in a moment over lunch with two of our members this week. That's how the Holy Spirit moves, over a beet salad and a cup of tea. And it was a purely selfish moment because in my almost 1 year anniversary with you, I was struck by the awareness of my growing closer to you, a few of you who are older. If you were to go tomorrow, it would affect me deeply already. In the very least, I would want to honor you here in worship, in a place where we share our lives, we express our love for God in gratitude, and we learn how to be vulnerable in prayer. And then, and I promise I'm getting to the point, then I realized that this very small change in the way we approach prayers for those who have died was a decision that grew out of my relationship to you after a year in ministry with you, and sitting with you and teaching with you and learning with you. It didn't come out of an idea of how it's supposed to be. It didn't come out of a Presbyterian book. It certainly didn't come by comparing us to the 500-member church down the street or how it was in the 1970s. It came out of spending time together, Sunday after Sunday, morning after morning, lunch after lunch, coffee after coffee, prayer after prayer. In our scripture, Jesus says, "And as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us." We are in relationship with Christ, with God, and our church. As I said my first month, and I will say again, the church will grow out of being in relationship, not anyone's preconceived ideas of how church is supposed to be. It will be what it's supposed to be out of our love for one another. God's mission, with Jesus Christ as the head of the church. And those are not just some nice words. They are deeply rooted in a belief that we live out our purpose in relationship and the rest will take care of itself. And yes, it takes time and enormous trust in God. And in the meantime, we love and we celebrate what we have. And we have so much. We have an active community who share their lives, their time, their resources, 24 elders and deacons combined, and others who contribute in multitude of other ways, sharing in their love for Jesus Christ. We celebrate that, and the others will naturally want in. Jesus's priestly prayer, that's what that scripture is called, his priestly prayer. You heard it, and it was said to his disciples. After 3 years of living and eating and sleeping and praying and healing and spending time together, Jesus prays to his disciples. His prayer is timeless and for all who will come to know him. His prayer is as much for us as it was for those who lived and ate and prayed beside him. Jesus prays for us so that the world may know that you have sent me. Now, I remember very vividly the first time that someone said a prayer for me out loud in my presence. And it was 16 years ago when I began spiritual direction with Carol Cezette. And Charlotte was a baby, and you used to play at our feet with toys. And I remember how awkward I felt, especially when I heard my name in prayer. And those long periods of silence, where did my eyes go? Who should I speak? Should I speak to? Should I say something? She would say, "Dear God, hold your daughter Nicole. Guide her. Be with her. May Nicole know your love." I remember feeling embarrassed in the hearing of my own name, my name. In a prayer to God, my name with God side by side, it was too much to take in. Clearly, I've gotten over it. But I still struggle with feeling worthy. I mean, that is part of why now, 16 years later, I try to say your name in the Holy Sacrament of Communion. Now, I realize that that might feel awkward for some of you, maybe even many of you, but my hope, my prayer is that you recognize that in that holy sacrament, you and Christ live as one in the taking of the bread and the cup. You are loved. Verse 4 of the opening hymn you just sang, "Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me?" Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples. You are his disciples. And that priestly prayer is for you. For you, Laura, for you, Jessica, for you, Mike, Jim, I could go through the pews. This past week was the Marin Interfaith Council prayer breakfast filled with probably over 200 people of all faiths breaking bread together. And invited to speak was a panel of four young adults in their 20s. There was a Jew, a Muslim, a Christian, and an agnostic atheist. Apparently, you can be both at once. And the 27-year-old Muslim woman shared her story and her practice of going to religious school for 1 hour every day here in Marin from kindergarten all the way through high school. And in high school, she made a choice completely on her own to wrap a hijab around her head. And in one moment at the prayer breakfast, she shared the power of this choice with us by taking out this beautiful peach-colored silk scarf with flowers, and then slowly, like a prayer, she wrapped it around her head so that it framed her face, complementing her beautiful complexion and her deep brown eyes. And in that moment of watching her, in the stillness of the room filled with 200 people, in that ritual of a moment in silence, was the most striking moment of prayer all morning. And I thought of my stole, and of a rabbi's tallit, and of a Catholic rosary bead, or of a cross that so many of us hang on our necks, or of a chalice, or of a font, or all the other physical, tangible signs of faith that signal to the world our practice, our religion, our love for God, the same God, different
signs. And then this young woman shared with us the day her life changed at Mill Valley Middle School after the planes hit the Twin Towers. And on that day, 9/11 changed her life forever. A child who loved God, who knew God's love for her, a girl who went to school the way she always had, only to hear the children who yesterday she played with now blame her. Children who told her she was responsible for the deaths of other children. Children who yelled at her on the playground for her to go back to her country despite the fact that this was her country. And she went on to attend her first day at College of Marin 6 or 7 years later with her hijab wrapped around her head when she heard another woman just 2 seats behind her say, "I would not get on a plane with her. She could have a bomb hiding under that thing and we wouldn't know it." Marin County, 2007. But Jesus prayed, "I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me." That young woman who knows the love of God, that girl who never did anything other than love God, will only know that we are one with her through our love, not for the purpose of conversion. We know God's love in Jesus Christ, and she knows God's love in Allah. We don't share our love with arrogance, but with the same celebration of acceptance that Jesus displayed throughout his life and ministry. Fundamental sects exist in every major religion. The Ku Klux Klan calls itself a Christian organization. And we, as Christians, as Jews, as Muslims, as faith-based organizations who uphold love and kindness as our fundamental belief, should never demonize an entire religion because of the extremist views of the branch, the fundamentalist branch of that religion. We as Christians share the love of Jesus Christ, and they will know we are Christians by our love, so that the world may know that you have sent me. And this church will grow in one spirit over time, Sunday after Sunday, meeting after meeting, beet salad after beet salad, while we are here and after we die. And this world will grow in one love for one God as Christians by sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And the world will know us by our love. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Now we bring our prayers, our joys, our concerns in witness with one another and before God.
I will begin by praying for Elaine De Palma, who will be gone for many weeks as she travels to Croatia and Budapest and all kinds of places. And so, traveling mercies with Elaine. And Elizabeth, prayers for the death of your sister-in-law. All of our hearts are with you today. And for Kathleen, as you undergo a medical procedure on Monday, you will be in all of our hearts and prayers. Other prayers, joys, concerns. Yes, Diane. Your niece, Kimberly, who's got ovarian cancer?
Yeah, she lives alone in Houston.
Prayers for her. Thank you. Jean?
I'd like to ask for prayers because I'm going to have a CT scan on Wednesday, and I'm sure you're all thinking, didn't she say that last week? Which I did, but I didn't mean last Wednesday, I meant this Wednesday.
Thank you. Prayers for your CT scan. Continued prayers of resurrection for Roxanne. Other prayers? Prayers of gratitude that both my children are here together in the sanctuary. Thank you. Yes, Elizabeth? Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that reminder. Thank you. Yes. And please join me in prayer and responding to Lord in your mercy or Lord in your grace by saying, Lord, hear our prayer. Holy God, we offer these prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, asking for you to hear our prayer. We pray for the church. That as we bring Christ's love into the world, that the world will know him through our love. Lord, in your grace. We pray for the world that whenever trials may befall us, you will provide leadership that chooses unity over division, goodness over division, and chooses words of respect and kindness and humility. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are suffering, victims of hate, of violence, of racism, outcasts and the oppressed who are in pain, searching for one world in love. Help them to find the grace of a merciful God. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the sick of this parish, for those mentioned out loud this morning, and for those unmentioned, but carried quietly in the privacy of our hearts, that you, God, bring healing, love, comfort. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those celebrating this week, births, anniversaries, birthdays, in celebration of the love and life you give to us in all stages of life, Lord, in your grace. And we pray for those who have died, our friends, our spouses, our parents, grandparents, siblings, our children, the ones we miss. We pray that you draw them near to you, and we give thanks for the gifts that they continue to be to us in resurrected life. Lord, in your grace, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we offer these prayers this last Sunday of Easter as we await the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church to renew us, replenish us, and in unity with your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us bring our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. God, we offer you these gifts that they may be used for people who are hungry, who need your love, who need a reminder that no one is alone, and that through your love we are one. Amen. And now I'd like to invite Patty to come up before our closing hymn to give us a minute of mission for the incredible work that she is doing through the presbytery. Patty, I'm going to go ahead and give you this, and you can hold it like this, or you can wrap it around your ear, or you can use a hook.
That's too far. Yeah. I'll see if I hang it on my ear. Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
No.
Well, it's a joy to be here today, and this is my husband, John Sanders, and it's always a joy to have him here and to help out, too. Couldn't do it without him. I am your Hunger Action Advocate for the Presbytery. I head up our Hunger Task Force, which our big program is Sensibility. And our second big program, which we kicked off here 2.5 years ago, I remember standing here with Bob Conover, and I had taken a bicycle wheel off my bicycle, and I had attached little boxes of food on it. And Bob, I'm talking, and Bob is spinning it, and he's spinning it so hard. I just knew one of those boxes was going to fly off and bop somebody, but it didn't. Anyway, we are so thankful to our presbytery and the support. This is a flyer, and I will leave one here for you for our third annual Pedal for Protein. So are there any bike riders in the congregation here? How many of you have bicycles? Hey, great. Well, we'd love to have you join us. This year, it's going to be easy. It's only 5 days. But we also have a 1 and 2 day option, and our final day will be have options from 10 to 47 miles. So there's lots of information available, and I have some flyers on our table over in your coffee room. So I hope you'll join us. Last year, we raised over $33,000. And we donated, I believe it was $4,000 to the Marin Food Bank, and every penny of the funds that are donated and raised go to food banks, and it's funneled through to food pantries for the protein needs of our food pantries that don't often do not have enough protein food for the their clients. I was pretty surprised about a year ago in talking with our granddaughter who lives in Reno when she shared with me that probably a year before that she found it necessary to go to a food pantry because she didn't have enough food. Now Jenna's was 25, 26 at the time. She works full time. She's a single mom. She has a son, our grandson, great-grandson. And I was so shocked. She had a boyfriend at the time. He was trying to get disability, so he wasn't working. And she was working at a pretty low-paying job trying to support the family. And it just doesn't happen in Reno. It happens here in Marin. There was recently on TV a special about hunger in Paradise, it was called. I don't know if any of you caught that. It was a very good short documentary. There was also a report in the Marin Independent Journal just last year ago in March about the hunger in Marin, and not only just the canal and Marin City and parts of Novato that we're familiar with, but right in our neighborhoods, sometimes hunger, like with my granddaughter, is hidden. People don't talk about it. But 20% of the population in Marin is affected by hunger. The at-risk population has doubled. 51,000 residents of Marin are in need of food assistance. Isn't that amazing in Marin? Seniors are hit particularly hard. One-third of the seniors in Marin have struggle getting enough food and to cover their basic living costs. And their average income is $27,000. Now, we all know living in Marin, that doesn't go very far. And some parts of West Marin particularly have limited access to food. I was very impressed by one of the organizations that we give a grant to through the Presbyterian Church in Point Reyes, their community program, that their food pantry is open 7 days, 5 days a week and open all day. So people who work and need extra food don't have to try and make Tuesday at noon. You know, they can't. They're working. And I was so impressed by that model. We do give out with our sensibility program. We do a little brochure every year that talks about all the grants that we give. This is featuring St. Paul's Community Dining Room in Benicia, sponsored by the Heritage Presbyterian Church there. And we do many, we help sponsor gardens. Sleepy Hollow has a justice garden. Knox Presbyterian Church has a community garden where they invite local people to. We have helped fund that with our sensibility programs to get the gardens going and to help with water for people in that want to use the garden from the community up in Santa Rosa. The Novato Human Needs Center, the average monthly income of their clients is $1,294, and they have a food pantry there, and through the Presbyterian Church in Novato, we give a grant of $1,000 a year to the Novato group that helps people get back on their feet and find employment, so on. So there's, I have a lot of these out over in the coffee room, and I hope you'll grab one and take a look. So I want to thank this church for their long-standing participation in the Sensibility program. So John and I are going to do a very short skit, and also we have can wrappers available if anybody would like one, if you need to re-up on your Sensibility program.
It's not enough.
2 cents a meal, 6 cents a day, approximately 18 cents a month. It's how it's been since 1976. That's the year Presbyterian women started the project to encourage a corporate response to hunger.
It's just not enough. 1 penny is just not enough, or 2 cents.
Why, John?
Does anyone remember 1976? I think many of you in this room do. McDonald's hamburgers were 35 cents. A dozen eggs was 84 cents. A string beans were 29 cents a pound. 2 pennies at mealtime is not enough, because what we could buy in for $1 in 1976, we now need $4.12.
Wow, John, that's a big difference. Maybe we need to do more.
Yes, a quarter a day would be an amount comparable to the original offering.
Well, I know it's always been called 2 cents a meal. Other presbyteries have called it Nickels for Hunger. The Presbyterian program calls it Sensibility.
If what we really need is a quarter a day, then Sensibility is a better name.
That makes a lot of sense. So when you see the Sensibility name, just remember, we are the same program, just updating our vision. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and I just want to say I brought an array of fair trade items from jewelry, coffee, tea, and chocolate, and I hope you'll come by a couple tables we've got set up there. We've even got the brand new, nobody's seen before, Pedal for Protein t-shirts this year in sage. Which are very nice for men and women, and I hope you'll come by and take
a
look.
Please do. Thank you. Mother's Day presents.
Yes.
Children. Thank you. Now please stand and let's join in our closing hymn, Every Time I Feel the Spirit.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
On your way out, you'll see a beautiful bouquet of flowers, and you are invited to take one, not just if you're a mother, but if you've ever had a mother. And now please receive the benediction. Now may you go from this place where we are one in Jesus Christ with one in other out into the world and let all people know that we are Christians by our love. Love one another. Amen.